Welcome to the Catch the Fire Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us, and we hope you're encouraged by this message.
Awesome. Thank you, Jay. Wow, guys, what an amazing, amazing Sunday. Thank you to everyone who bravely got baptized this morning. You know, yeah, let's give them a hand because the thing I love about it, and I'm sure there's many of you in this room that have walked with some of these people as they got into the tank, it's like you know their stories. You know what they've been through. You know what they've overcome to get to that moment. And even people who right there on the spot, leading them through prayer of salvation, receiving Jesus, and then committing to be baptized this morning, it's just beautiful. If you don't know people in this church, I want to encourage you to get to know one another. Get to know each other so that you know the stories. You walk with people through the highs and the lows and everything in between. And then we get to have these incredible moments where we witness just the victory of God in their life. It's so good and it's so powerful. And so get to know one another, guys. But this morning, if you are part of this church family, we want to invite you to continue our worship this morning and sow your offerings and give of your tithe back to the Lord. So let's just pray really quick for that over our tithes and offerings this morning. If you're a visitor, don't feel under any obligation to give, but you're welcome to sow an offering this morning. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that everything that we have has been given to us by you. We just put our hope and our faith in you, Jesus. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our families, our jobs, our finances. Thank you that you are in control, Lord, and you are our source. You are a source for everything. I ask, Lord, that you would bless and you would increase every person in this church family, Lord, that our businesses would be blessed, that the businesses of the city would be blessed, that we would be blessed to be a blessing, Lord, to the world. I pray that we would be ridiculously generous, Lord, in all areas of our lives with our time, our finances, and our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I will not keep you for another hour here today, but we're going to go through today the continuing in our sermon series, Pneuma, which is Spirit in Greek, and we're talking all about the Holy Spirit. And so I feel like it is appropriate that to have and make room for baptisms this morning because it's all about the Holy Spirit. Like if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up in this meeting, then what are we doing here? What are we doing? It means nothing. It means nothing without the Holy Spirit. We can put on a really good service without the Holy Spirit. That's just the truth. But it's the Holy Spirit that we need. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. That quote this week, when I read that challenged me to my core. Of we can put on good services, we can play good music and have good worship and preach the word from our heads, but if we don't have the Holy Spirit here showing up, then it means nothing. And throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit reveals himself in many different ways. Even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was revealing himself as these different ways: the dove, the wind or the breath, the fire, the oil of anointing, water, a seal, not as in like the animal, but like a seal upon your heart, a deposit, a guide or a shepherd, a voice, God's gift, and the power. And it's so important that we understand the names and the attributes of the Holy Spirit, which is what I'm going to go in today, the names and the attributes of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we understand what they are because it deepens our relationship and our connection with God, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. He is God. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning when God said, let there be light. That was the Holy Spirit. That was one part of the Trinity. And when we learn and understand who he is, his names, his attributes, we're not just talking about personality traits and characteristics of something. It's not God is loving. It's God is love. It's not God is good. It is that, but he is goodness. He is good. That is who he is. We are learning about the actual very nature and essence of who God is today. It's not just a personality trait. God didn't take a personality test and profile and come out like 100% in everything. And we're like, that's your personality. No, it's actually who he is. It's his essence, his character. So turn with me to John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 12 through 18 together. This is the passage of scripture that happens right before the during the Last Supper. And it's right before Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. And this is Jesus' almost like last departure message to his disciples, where he's encouraging them of what is to come. They didn't really truly understand that he was going to die. They didn't truly understand that he was going to leave this earth. And here Jesus is, and he's encouraging them for what is to come. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Some translations, the King James, New King James say comforter, "to be with you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Skip down to verse 26. It says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." See, in this passage, Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And the first thing he says is he promises greater works to them. We're talking about the Jesus who has raised Lazarus from the dead, who has cast out demons into pigs, who has touched the blind eyes and they have been healed, who has turned water into wine, who has walked on water, and these disciples have witnessed all of these things. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come and you will do greater things than I have done. You will do greater works. He's encouraging them because I'm sure that they felt in that moment like, you're leaving? What the heck are we going to do? Who am I? Peter's probably like, who am I? I'm just a fisherman. What can I do? And Jesus is encouraging them in this moment and saying, the Holy Spirit, the helper, will enable you and empower you to do greater things than I have done. He promises the Holy Spirit to them. He promises them greater works, and he promises them the Holy Spirit as the helper. He says, the helper will come to you, and he will dwell in you, and he will empower you. Continuing on in chapter 15, Jesus then talks about how he is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are called to remain in him and abide in him. And then he talks about how the world will hate you because they have hated me. And then it ends again with saying, but I will send the helper to you. Jesus, this is an encouragement message that he's leaving the world with, that he's leaving the disciples, but he's also leaving us with. See, it was necessary that Jesus had to leave because he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man, which meant he was only one person who could be in one place at any given time. He wasn't omnipresent. But God, who is omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient, he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be that here in this earth. And it was necessary that Jesus left so that every believer could have the Spirit of Jesus with them. Every believer who receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them. It was necessary that Jesus left so that we could have that. So one of the main attributes in this scripture that we're reading about is the helper or the comforter. And this Greek word for helper is parakletos, okay, which comes from the verb parakaleo. And this means to call to one side or to encourage. So that literally means when you say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. It means the helper, the comforter, is called to your side. It's a verb. It's an action. He comes to you. He comes beside you. He encourages. He lifts up. He edifies. In verse 16, it says, another helper. And the word another here means another of the same kind. So what Jesus is saying is another one of me is going to come alongside of you. It's not something different. It's another of the same kind. Remember how I said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, right? So the Holy Spirit coming is that Spirit of Jesus coming. All throughout the New Testament, we see Peter and Paul and others like Silas relying on the helper of the Holy Spirit to go to the different churches, to live out the calling and the mission that God has for them. Now, as I was preparing this sermon this week, I was thinking about different areas in my life and stories in my life where the Holy Spirit has been a helper to me. And there's so many that I could think of, but there was this one moment that has always stuck out to me. When I was 17 years old, I went to Pemba, Mozambique, and I lived there for 6 months. And for half of the time that I was there, I did the Harvest School of Missions. And there was this one moment where we had a guest speaker who is a Catch the Fire pastor now of a church in Kansas City. Her name is Patricia Bietzma, and she is a prophet. And she knew me from growing up in Toronto. And so when she saw me, she's like, Jess, after I preach, I want to prophesy over 80 of your classmates. So go around and choose 80 different people. I'm going to prophesy over them. And so I'm like, okay, there's like 300 of us. So I'm like, you know, choosing, hey, you're the lucky one. You get chosen. No, I'm just kidding. But I choose 80 people. And then she's like, oh, and I want you to follow behind me and prophesy over every person behind me. I'm like 17 years old. I can be prophetic for sure. Like, we are all prophetic, but it's more like accidentally prophetic sometimes. But I do like to prophesy over people, but I wouldn't say that I'm a prophet or that's my office or that's not my gifting. And so in that moment, I was like, Holy Spirit, I literally don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, which is good. You don't want to say, you don't want to make up anything. You want to rely on the Holy Spirit. You want to stay in that place of reliance and dependence. But I was like, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're my helper. Thank you that you're going to come with me and you're going to go with me. And the words I say are not going to be my words. They're going to be your Spirit speaking through me. And we went down the whole line and it took like 3 hours. And I also think that I like must have stepped under her anointing or something, because it was like the words that were coming out of my mouth felt like people were crying. They were like, that's exactly what God's saying to me. That like, you're confirming everything he said. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I could not do anything in my own strength, in my own flesh, but only through the Holy Spirit. My brother-in-law, coming up on 3 years ago, he lost his dad to cancer. And my sister and they and him had only been married for about 6 months, and they live in New Zealand. And they just announced they're having a baby, so I'm going to be an aunt again, and I'm so excited. I'm going to go visit in November. But when his dad died, we couldn't go to New Zealand because New Zealand's borders were closed until like 2022. And I see the live stream for the funeral, and I'm watching the live stream, and I see my brother Daniel and his back and my sister Abby. I see just the back of their heads. And I was just struck with this sense of grief for them, mourning, knowing what they were going through. And I was reminded of this verse and this passage of scripture and how Jesus says, the Comforter will come to you. And he will come alongside you. And I was thinking about how Jesus knew what his disciples needed to hear, because he knew that he was going to leave and that he was going to grieve their hearts, that they were going to be sad, that they were going to be mourning the loss of their rabbi and their teacher. And he chose to use the word the Comforter to come near them. And so as I was praying for them on the Zoom, like watching the screen, I was just like, Holy Spirit, would the Comforter himself come and draw so close to them? Come and draw so near. And there might be some of you in this room where you're going through some really hard things and you're walking through grief and you're walking through pain. And I pray right now that the Comforter himself would draw near to you, that you would feel his presence. Not just, you know, not just that you would feel comfort, but that you would feel the Comforter. It's different. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is revealed as the helper, as the comforter. He's also revealed as the Spirit of truth. In John 14, 17, it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you." The Spirit of truth guides us as believers into all truth. I feel like we're in a time and an age where, you know, we need the Spirit of truth. And I'm not talking about truth that we read about on social media. I'm not talking about truth that we see on CNN or Fox News. I'm not talking about truth that's affiliated with red or blue. I'm talking about the truth of the Holy Spirit, the way, the truth, and the life, truth with a capital T, truth who is a person, because all I care about is his truth, all right? I don't want the world's truth. I don't want culture's truth. I don't want my truth. I want his truth. And we need the Spirit of truth to know and discern what is right, what is wrong, what is evil, what is darkness, and what is light. And culture, see, I personally don't hold the world accountable to the standards of the kingdom because they don't know better. Or maybe they do know better and they've turned away. But I hold believers to the standard of the kingdom. And what has grieved my heart, and I know grieves the Holy Spirit's heart, is when people who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior actually would rather have culture as their truth than him as their truth. That is what has grieved my heart. And so I urge us as believers, we have to know the truth of God. And we know the Spirit of the truth of God through reading our scriptures, understanding the scriptures, not taking them out of context, not cherry picking what we like and what we don't like, but understanding the whole scripture, what God was saying at that moment, what was the cultural context of the time, what was actually meant to be said. If you don't know what that is, there's so many resources that you can find online. Also, I would start with joining a connect group and having conversations with your connect group leader, and then feel free to come and have conversations with us. But we have to know truth through the Word of God. And then we also have to understand and know truth by communing with the Holy Spirit. Because when you commune with him, you learn his voice. You know him. And you get these little, like, spiritual radar thing. I'm just joking. But you feel it in your spirit. Discernment. Exactly. You feel it. You know it. You know the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you know the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And you have discernment for it. Don't be bombarded with the lies of the enemy. Seek to find the truth of God. And you can find that in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:13 says this, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." That means the moment you said yes to Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Come on. "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So when you receive Jesus, you are sealed, your salvation is sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you grow in the knowledge of him. That's why we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so we can know who God is, know more about him, know his attributes, know his character, his essence, so that you don't waver in your questioning of who he is and his goodness for your life. This is a long run-on sentence because it's a letter. But it says, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Come on. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation, first, to understand and know who God is. Second, to also understand the scripture as well. To know that the Bible is this written revelation of God to us as humanity. And it reveals truths of God. And it helps us go deeper into the understanding of who he is. Again, we talked about discernment. We want discernment to discern light and darkness, righteousness and sin, and to navigate the challenges that life comes at us. There's so many times where we will have a decision we need to make, and we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to help us discern what God's will is for our lives. It's so easy to live life with us just making decisions by ourselves. Even when we were talking about, are we done having kids or not? We were like, we need God's wisdom here, because we don't know. We think we're done. In our flesh, we're done. We were done at child number one, let me tell you. If I knew now what I know. But we sought God's will, and we asked him for wisdom, and we asked him for discernment to know what to do. And now we have four, so all aboard. We also need the spirit of wisdom and revelation for our spiritual growth. We were not meant to be infant Christians forever. We are not meant to drink milk for the rest of our lives. If my baby drank milk alone after the age of one, they would be vitamin deficient. Okay? We're not meant to just eat pureed sweet potato and peas our whole lives. All right? We're not meant to just eat avocado and bananas for the rest of our lives. There's a whole feast waiting for us, right? There's a whole table prepared for us. We're meant to eat the steak. We're meant to eat the rib, the brisket, the chicken, the fish, whatever. If you're vegetarian, I'm sorry. There's a whole table of spinach waiting for you. But what I'm trying to get at is we have to grow in our spiritual maturity. And it is negligent of us to stay where we are, because there's so much more in the Holy Spirit. And it's his spirit of wisdom and revelation that helps us grow in our spiritual maturity. It's essential because we are required to grow in our faith. See, there's big things that require big faith of us. And me 10 years ago wasn't ready for what I have now. But I've been growing. And I've been waiting on God, and I've been preparing for the next season. But I need his spirit of wisdom and revelation to help me grow in my spiritual walk with him. We got to grow in our character. We're not meant to be angry, grumpy Christians. We're called to be bringers of joy and peace and love and gentleness. We're called to grow in our obedience. Because when God says to do something, it's spiritual maturity to say yes. It's spiritual maturity to say, God, I could lose everything that I have built in my own strength. I could lose it all, but I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes to your voice. Because my sacrifice and my obedience is important to you, Lord. And my obedience is better than my sacrifice. It's essential for our spiritual growth and maturity. And the last thing that the spirit of wisdom and revelation does is it brings us into a greater understanding of our hope and our assurance that is found in Christ Jesus. Where our circumstances on this earth may look bleak, but we have hope and assurance that there is a place waiting for us, that he's prepared a table for us, that he's seated in the heavenly places. And I have hope and assurance. I have hope and assurance in Jesus Christ, but I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand what's waiting for me, to understand the hope that I have in my salvation in Christ Jesus. See, the more I walk with God and His Spirit and the Holy Spirit, the more that I live in the knowledge of His goodness. The more that I don't waver when hardship comes. The more that I don't question His goodness. See, I might have a moment, a fleeting thought of, God, what are you doing? But the maturity says, God, I know you're working. God, I know you're good no matter what. God, I know you'll never fail me. God, even though I don't see what you're doing right now, I know that you have a plan for me. I know you have a plan to prosper me. And I'm not going to waver in my faith. And I'm not going to shake. And I'm not going to question your goodness. And I'm not going to question that you failed me. Because you haven't failed me yet, and you're not going to fail me again. But it's all about walking in step with the Holy Spirit. It's all about surrendering to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of holiness. See, holiness is not merely just our outward behavior, but it's about being set apart for God's purposes and reflecting His character here on this earth, reflecting His nature. The Spirit of holiness was promised to us. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, fire all throughout the Bible and the Old Testament represents purification and sanctification. And we often want to cherry pick the parts of the Holy Spirit that we want. We want the fuzzy parts. We want the peace. We want the joy. We want what makes me feel good. Do you want the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Do you want the fire that purifies and burns up every bit of wickedness and unrighteousness in your life until all that's left is Him? Most of the time, the answer is no. But there's always an ongoing work in us of transforming us more and more into the image and the likeness of Christ. And I want that. I want to look like Jesus. I want to be radiating Jesus. The world is looking for a church that radiates Jesus, that represents God well, that represents who He is. There's a requirement for us as believers to be sanctified. You can read that in 2 Timothy 2:13. But it's a necessary part of us being believers and Christians. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Holy, or who is the Spirit. See, it's the Spirit that convicts us. As believers, the Spirit inside of us that empowers us to overcome temptation. See, I am not great at overcoming temptation by myself in my own strength, but the Holy Spirit inside of me, He's amazing. He's powerful. It's Him who produces the fruit of righteousness in my life. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that puts to death everything in us that is not of Him. The Holy Spirit, He's so kind and loving in His conviction. Anytime you feel condemnation, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy who says you're worthless, you're shameful, you're dirty, you're disgusting. But the Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, I love you. What you're doing is grieving my heart. What you're doing is defiling yourself. Come on. I've already washed you clean. Come on. Let's try again. Don't get to a place where you lose the conviction of God, where you become so complacent in your sin, where you're okay to live in it. That's a bad place and a scary place to be in. So say to God, God, convict me where I need to be convicted. Reveal truth to me. Wash me clean and repent to Him. That's what we can do. And lastly, to finish, He's the Spirit of power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control," or a sound mind. We're called to live courageous lives, guys. We're called to live boldly. We're called to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, to the broken world around us. But we need the Spirit of power. And we're going to talk more about that on Pentecost, about the power of the Holy Spirit when he lands on you and anoints you and what that looks like. I'm excited. But we need the Holy Spirit's courage and boldness to walk and move in power. I want to be a people that when we see people who are sick, we ask if we can pray and lay hands on them. Where we are frustrated at the state of our marriage and our friendships, and we're like, we are desperate for the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and transform. Where we're desperate for him to move in our lives. It's really easy to live our lives without the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to live it without the Holy Spirit. But another quote from Tozer, he says, "This spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." The total plan of God for his people. And when we're living a life without the Holy Spirit, or devoid of the Holy Spirit, or we're pushing away his voice, we're pushing away his leading, we're pushing away his conviction, then we're actually not living in the fullness of what is available to us as believers. And I promise you, we will burn out. We'll probably deconstruct and deconstruct and deconvert. Like, we need the Holy Spirit to walk through this life. There's pain. There's sickness. There's things we don't understand. Things don't go our way. But the Holy Spirit in us gives us hope. The Holy Spirit gives us power, gives us truth. So some of you might be asking, how do I know that the Holy Spirit is moving in my life? And what does a spirit-filled life look like? Well, for me, this is a place where I start. It starts like this. A place of surrender. A place of surrendering my agenda, my thoughts, the way I think I can do it, the way I think I can earn it. There's nothing that we have done that has earned any of this. It's a free gift. It's a gift that has been given. And that's the good news, because if it was only based on my earnings, then I would have lost it ages ago. It's acknowledging that he is here and he is there with you, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, that he dwells on the inside. Jesus promised that he would dwell on the inside of you. It's acknowledging his presence. See, when we pray and we open these services and we say, "Welcome, Holy Spirit," we're not saying, "Holy Spirit, come on in. You're welcome here. Like, you're not in here, but you come on in." That's not what we're saying. We're saying, "Holy Spirit, we know you're here, and we're letting you know that your presence is welcome. Your presence is needed. It's required. We want you here, Holy Spirit." It's laying down our own pride that we can do this walk of life without him. His presence is necessary in my life to be the best mother, to be the best father, the best daughter, best son. His presence is necessary to be the best teacher and doctor and lawyer. Amen. And garbage truck driver and pastor and friend that I can be. It's cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit through prayer and worship and reading your Bibles, reading the Word of God. It's asking him to fill your mind and your spirit and your soul and your body with more of him. I love to pray that. "Holy Spirit, I want more of you, more of your presence, more of your anointing, more of your power." It's asking him to reveal himself to you more and more every day through that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would grow in a deeper understanding of him. It's listening to his voice and practicing obedience. See how I said practicing obedience? Because we don't always get it right. And again, coming back to a place of surrender. Surrendering again and again, and surrender and surrendering. I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. If that's you and you just want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're like, God, I can pretty much feel like I can get through life on my own, but I recognize that I can't, and I need you, Holy Spirit. Just hold your hands open like this. You know, that's why we lift our hands in worship. It's an act of surrender. Just surrender to him. Holy Spirit, just say this with me. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want more of you in my life. I don't want just the parts that make me feel good. I want the parts that convict me, God. I want the parts that challenge me, that call me higher. I want all of you, Holy Spirit. And I'm so sorry for any way I've shut down your presence in my life. I'm so sorry for any way I've thought I can do this without you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell on the inside of me. And that the Spirit of God is available to me. Would you increase the spirit of wisdom and revelation in my life so that I can recognize that you are at work in my life? Just meditate for a moment. Just say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. From the top of my head to the tip of my toes, burn away any bit of wickedness in me, God. Fill. We want to produce fruit in our lives, Holy Spirit. But we need you to do that.
Thank you.
In us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us. There are so many opportunities to grow, connect, and be encouraged. To learn more, visit ctfraleigh.com and follow us on social media. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We are so thankful for you.